Welcome to the Victory Show.
Hey, Victors. Welcome to this week's Victory Show. If this is the first time you're joining us, I'm Travis Cody, best-selling author of 16 books. And I've had the privilege of helping hundreds of business consultants, founders, and entrepreneurs write and publish their own best-selling book. And in that journey, I've discovered a really fascinating pattern. A lot of businesses hit a revenue plateau, usually around $1 million, and they struggle to break through that. So on this show, I sit down with some of the world's most successful CEOs, leaders, and business owners to uncover the strategies they use to overcome those plateaus and scale their businesses to new heights. And more importantly, how you can do the same. So get ready for some deep insights and actionable takeaways that you can implement in your business and life starting today. And today, we have an absolute powerhouse in the world of fitness, nutrition, and high-performance business, a true industry titan. Tom Dowd is the president and CEO of F45 Training, the global fitness empire that's redefining the way people train. But that's just the beginning, because before taking the reins at F45, Tom was the mastermind behind Performance-Inspired Nutrition, the lifestyle nutrition brand he co-founded and led alongside none other than Mr. Mark Wahlberg. Over the past decade, he's built an empire of game-changing wellness brands, from Wahlburgers to Performance-Inspired Nutrition to major investments in F45. When it comes to high-level business strategy, product innovation, and creating brands that people can't get enough of, Tom is in a league of his own. With 25 years at GNC, where he played a key role in taking the company public and shaping the sports nutrition industry, Tom has been setting the bar for success for decades. His ability to scale businesses, build magnetic brands, and drive billion-dollar industries forward makes him one of the most influential leaders in health, wellness, and fitness today. This is going to be an electric conversation about building a legacy, scaling global brands, and what it actually really takes to play the game at the highest level. So get ready, because this is going to be a big one. Tom, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you, Travis. That's a very generous setup. I hope I can live up to it.
So I always like to ask, with where you're at currently with F45, you're kind of at the top of the pile in terms of what people would consider business success, but where did it start for you? Did you always know that you were going to be an entrepreneur and a founder, or did that life sort of choose you?
Yeah, the life chose me. My father owned supermarkets. So he came over from Ireland at 21 and was, a self-made millionaire before he was 35.
Wow.
Several supermarkets in Yonkers, New York area, in the Bronx and Yonkers, tough markets to grow up in. I grew up from packing groceries and cleaning deli machines and sweeping floors and blocking and facing.
So that was your chores.
Yeah, that was my chores. So that's, so I got dragged into it. And then, I always just, didn't necessarily, I think it kind of turned me off to retail a bit, because it was just such a tough world. But it's a great training camp for anything, from brand building, etc. So but then I got dragged into it because I stayed in the supermarket biz and then transitioned over to GNC.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Did they like recruit you, or did it just an opportunity open up for you to step into there and you went that way?
Moving from the supermarket business to a supervisor role was very, at the time I was really living the lifestyle, lifting 6 days a week and pretty big guy. And, the Coca-Cola drivers came in and said, listen, I know you're struggling with this new position. I took over a very challenging location in Yonkers, New York, in Getty Square, Yonkers, and it was just a really tough location, and I figured I was going to end up getting shot or murdered at some point. So
you say rough, you don't mean in a retail spot, you mean like a rough and a legitimate rough
robberies, every day, just fist fights. It was just a really big, I think it was a 24 register location with a mall above us and a four-story parking garage. And because I had the type A personality and grew up in the industry, my big promotion to store manager was to that store, which I opened up 3 to 12, which is a tough position. Yeah. And then I get the promotion. Oh. I told them, listen, I'm not, this isn't going to end well for me, I suspect. it was threatened almost weekly. Anyway, that kind of sparked the conversation. The Coke driver said, listen, I deliver, believe it or not, Coca-Cola to a GNC in Neuchâtel, New York. You should, they're looking for supervisors. And just on a whim, I just kind of went home on a weekend and typed out a resume on a brother P. Touch, which is like a No typewriter, computer to set up.
It was one of the first typewriters with the view screen, right?
Right, exactly. Sent it out, not really, and completely forgot about it. Thought it'd be cool to kind of work there. You used to go to GNC over the years in the mall and stuff, and forgot about it. And then one day I got a call, and next thing I was sitting in a New Jersey diner, and the person was almost an hour late, believe it or not. Who he ended up working for me. But and I got up three times, literally, no exaggeration, to leave, and something kept pulling me back to sit back down, and change my life. I ended up getting hired. It was really bad experience from a hiring standpoint. No support, no communication. GNC was a small company then with less than 800 locations. We grew it up to 8,600 in my time there. But just terrible. And my father, great advice he gave me. I called and was complaining. He said, "Listen, if you think you're that good and they're that screwed up, you'll be a superstar. Just hang in there and work through it." And I did. I mean, I was really just hating it the first year, and the fact I stuck it out, obviously worked out well for me. I wouldn't
Well,
change.
what's fascinating about that journey is that you're essentially coming in at the ground floor, right? You're the boots on the ground. And so you're seeing the impact of some of the upper decisions that are completely disconnected from what the reality is. And what you're saying, I worked in Hollywood for a little bit, and in the writing space, they purposely, when you get in as a writer, like the first year and a half, they make life miserable. And the whole point is like, can we get him to quit before? And if you can survive, then they're like, okay, let's give him a promotion and make him a staff writer, and we'll move up. So,
They weren't that maniacal or smart then, but that's played into surviving three leveraged buyouts, foreign ownership, and taking a company public.
so
Because
you survived three
buyout,
leveraged buyouts when you were with GNC.
right? And
Wow.
that is, surviving one is, a feather in your cap, and I have plenty of battle scars, but it's all learning. But no, they were just very unsophisticated. Like I said, they were not anywhere near that.
Well, it started as a family store, right?
Well, GNC started as a yogurt store called Lac Zoom here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I was lucky enough to be there right before the transition. And this is where you learn a lot about branding and strategy. They moved from a health food store with tons of food, raisins, and all just foods piled up everywhere. Very small on the sports nutrition and supplement line was there, but just real quirky supplements. And then Jerry Horn came in and transit. He came out of Sears and transitioned the company from a health food store, quote unquote, to a supplement.
Sports
We really
nutrition.
expanded sports nutrition. We really expanded our line of supplements under the GNC banner. Really started working closely with other national brands, and we minimized the low margin food business and went into the high margin supplement business. So I was there through that
Through
transition.
that transition.
All the line reviews and just the strategy. And that was just really an exciting time to be there. And we also then, right about then, the world was really taking notice of healthy living. So we were there transitioning right at the right time, take advantage of that. And then we grew. And then as I worked my way up, what the only top executive to actually run divisions and come out of actually running divisions, which is critical because you have such a different insight as to how to get things done and what it takes to get things done, which has added a lot of value to my position as I end up taking pretty much every department in the company. You really just understand how important it is to have firsthand knowledge of these things. But we definitely were in the go-go years. At one point, we were up 3 to 5 stores a day for a while. So massive growth. That's when they were building strip centers like crazy. Malls were still banging away. Strip centers, life then it morphed into lifestyle centers, which has more of a call it the we used to call them the fountain effect, where you had fountains and just beautiful locations. So we really took advantage of all that real estate.
So when you started, there was 86 stores, and by the time you ended, there was
Under 800,
800,
8,600 stores when I at our height when I was there. So big growth, 2,000 franchise locations, manufacturing business. You know, I think at our height we were in 70 countries. Yeah, so it was, you know, a lot of complications. A very complex business. You know, you have call it 7,000 SKUs per store. Every one of them is dated. You know, vitamins and, you know, proteins all have different and
expiration dates.
Yeah, the dates, yeah, expiration dates. You also have, you know, laws you have to abide by country, you know, for, you know, every ingredient profile has to be different. You know, silly thing, Mexico has stevia rules, you know, and so, yeah, which is a sweetener, a natural sweetener. But yeah, so
Mexico has stevia rules.
Actually, we cannot send our performance inspired protein as it sits today with the stevia content that it has. We're over by a minuscule amount. Believe it or not, Mexico, which you could argue has a country, a government, has pretty strict regulations when it comes to, I guess, sports nutrition or food in general.
That's interesting. So let's talk a little bit about the leadership then, because you started, you know, with what? If you're a supervisor, you've got a few employees in a store and like
manager, I had about 55 stores, you know, which was a whole nother experience because you go from being able to solve every problem, you know, within a car ride between the supermarkets or walking down the stairs to, you know, go to aisle 4 and fix whatever's wrong or go to the meat department to having to drive 4 or 5 hours for a very small store with probably 5 or 6 employees, and the manager throws the keys in the gate and you have to figure out how to keep that store running. It was tough, especially coming out of an industry that's very, you know, point your finger in their chests. You know, I mean, I've been in pushing matches with people, you know, employees in that business. You know, they're all in the union. They're all making a lot of money. They're all protected with the unions. You know, you really go to battle with these folks to a team that's very. So I came out of a tough environment, and even though I was pulling it back quite a few notches, I was still pretty aggressive, and a lot of people just were like, you know, I'm out of here. You know, I mean, I was walking into stores that were just an absolute disgrace by pretty much anybody's standards. But, you know, once I got everything fixed and worked through the painful cycle of replacing people and getting back on track, we went from literally last place to first place in 4 months, which is pretty epic. Wow. Which put me on the map.
I was gonna say, yeah, when you do that turnaround time, you've got a spotlight on you. And then that led to what? So that was district manager. You were doing that, and then that just
district manager. Then I just kept moving up. You know. Then they kept trying to put me into marketing because I'm pretty creative and have a lot of ideas always. And you know, but I always wanted to stay into operations. So it took over. You know, merchandise manager for a division and ran divisions. Moved to California to run basically Alaska to Texas was Division 3 at the time, which was the biggest volume division. And I took that over, and everybody worked for me. He's been there at GNC, you know, about 15 years longer than me. So that to step into that role. But yeah, within literally days, they saw that, you know, I was there to do the right thing for everybody and get things going. And we took that division, you know, again, no exaggeration, from last place to first place within 4 divisions, you know, pretty fast. And that was, you know, again, they would have a conference call a month. I was having a conference call every day for the first month, you know, just turning up the East Coast mentality to the West Coast and just being, you know, a typical you know, aggressive New Yorker, I guess they used to call me, just coming in and just, you know, popping into markets unannounced, you know, really pulling everybody into the office and doing business reviews and just grinding through things. And then, you know, just partnering with people, you know, vendors. There was a huge opportunity, like Muscle Milk was a great find of mine. You know, so just really, you know, taking my retail experience in the supermarket business with brands and products and understanding how important it was to bring fresh products into the business was one of my biggest wins. You know, everything from, you know, perfect push-ups to the Thighmaster to, you know, skin creams, Strivectin, you know, to Muscle Milks, you know, always looking for product. Always, you know, I love finding product. I love growing brands. I love, you know, just seeing something live and breathe in the stores that I found. And same thing now with building brands, you know, with performance inspired. We have 60 SKUs now and growing. It's just great to see somebody out in the world with your shirt on, or you hear somebody using your product. It's a real turn on.
So what was it that you did then when you'd go in and take these stores where, you know, what was causing them to be not performing and being sort of dead last? And then what were you doing then that could do that such a quick turnaround?
Obviously standards are one, but it always starts with people and process, right? So a lot of times I give everybody the credit that they want to do well. If they're working there and spending their time with you, I give them, the credit that they just need good leadership and guidance, and then it's up to them to, disprove that. So I always give everybody a fair shot, but I always go in thinking, all right, let me do everything I can to make them successful. Let me give them the guidance and the push and the follow-up skills and just the whatever they need to be successful. So I always think of anything, including coming into F45, is listen, I'm here to work for you. I work for the employees. My job is to make your job easier. My job is to make you successful. My job now is to make the franchisees successful and make the membership experience in our studios amazing. So I always start there. So, in retail, it's the employees. Do they have the right tools? Are they being communicated to? Half the time, if not more, most people don't even know the expectations. Everybody talks in circles. I call them talking heads. I'm so direct, it's painful sometimes, but and I'm repetitive. All the things that don't make me great to live with, or make me really good to live with. My wife's crazy, but
Well,
I'm challenging and questioning, and I'm just wired to always question everything. And I'm also wired to always try and find, any thought, how do I take it to the next level? You show me a font on something. Oh, how would that work here? I love that. I love that, how that display looks. Can we put that into something here? So I'm always thinking, how does that cross over to what I'm doing in my world, everything I see?
I love it. Well, and you said two important things there. First off, people first, right? Even if you're starting with the employees. And the second thing is communication. And I was in the corporate world for the longest time, and 90% of the problems is just because the communication from the top wasn't being, effectively communicated. So you have people on the day-to-day dealing with customers going like, why did we just make these changes? And it makes no sense. And the customers are hating it. And we're trying to tell people the customers are hating it. And, sometimes it would take 2 quarters and they go, why did our profits just drop by 30%? Why did our customer complaints go up by 80%?
It happens all the time. I mean, listen, there's big companies that, obviously, we all know that the larger you get, sometimes things get away from you, right? So, a lot of that is because the executives get so tied up into BS, it doesn't really register, doesn't ring the register, as we used to say, that they lose track, and now they're focused on the wrong things and lose track of what made them successful. So I'm also, neurotic, where I'm always in the weeds to a point. You can't get lost in the weeds, but I read once that 95% of CEOs never checked their customer service hotline when people hotlines. So
Doesn't surprise me.
when I first got customer service, long time early in my career, during the first business review on, the big conference table with the phone in the middle, we actually called our own system, and it was like a 5-minute transition
Wait.
to get to somebody. And I lost my mind, and nobody who people who were paid just to run customer service didn't even do it, I could tell. Didn't look at it. I mean, we had French on air for, we had stores in Canada, like 20 stores in Canada needed to have French, and we had it on our menu, for example. Just silly. So we got it down to less than a minute. It was a great example, from almost, it was over 4 minutes. And it's just crazy how,
That
in the weeds, it makes a
it
difference.
reminds me. I was sometime back. I saw an article. It was the interview with the founder of DoorDash, and one of the things that he instituted was he the engineers that are building the app. You have to go work customer service for an 8-hour shift once a month. And he was saying that when he did that, something like 30% of the engineers quit because they thought they were above customer
Right.
service. And his whole point was, you need to see the problems that your programming's creating. And then he said, once they did that, and now when you get online, DoorDash has like one of the best people are like, I love this app. And it's so great because once the engineer started going like, oh, there's people on the other end of my code, it changed everything.
Yeah, no doubt.
So what, just briefly, you had an experience of working with a company that went public. Let's just talk about that a little bit. And then I want to obviously transition into performance. But what was that journey like?
Well, I wasn't the CEO when we went public. I was an investor. So myself and a group with Wahlberg, I had the first meeting in the back room of the Ellen Show. Loved the business, loved the product.
And just, of course. I mean, that's where everybody's going to do their business deals. Yeah. It's been behind the scenes with Ellen. We were cutting deals.
A little tidbit. Well, you know, we had a busy, when I used to go to California, you know, my schedule was always booked. So I was like, listen, I'll be here, you know, meet me there. We'll get you in through the gate, you know, but that's my only window. Cause like, you know, so we made it happen. And then, you know, we ended up investing within we got the yes to invest within 2 weeks and we put 110 million in. Absolutely loved the product, loved the culture, everything about it. And then, you know, COVID happened and then, you know, we came out and the studios rebounded again. Everybody was happy to get back working out. You know, the one thing about F45, the culture, the community is amazing. So, you know, these folks ran back into the studio. So everybody was like, listen, this is great. We're outpacing our competition, you know, surprising everybody how fast the studios are bouncing back. Let's take it public. The model seemed to work. We went out, but you know, then we had just basically, I guess in a nutshell, we just had poor management and poor oversight to the point where we were like, you know, listen, at some point here, we delisted. And then I stepped in to take over and get it back on track, which April 1st will be 2 years, which is hard to even say out loud. I can't believe it's been 2 years. I mean, it's literally flown by. You know, I had some regret about jumping in on the front line at first.
Did you get in it and be like, oh, I thought I was done with this part of my career?
Yeah. I wish I could say I lost hair from it, but it was already gone. It was funny because almost every week I could feel the old, you know, the muscles memory from GNC coming back, you know. So, you know, for 13, 14 years, I was just doing
excellent. So the company launches, you guys invest, COVID happens and it drops, and then you're rebounding and you go and it goes public. And then once it goes public, it just starts to taper off. And that's.
Well, it didn't taper off. HQ just really just made a lot of missteps, you know, paying people, you know, the Beckham thing was news. He's still involved and just a lot of just unsophisticated, you know, decisions being made. Total lack of respect for capital in many regards. So just not a lot of SOPs, you know, standard operating procedures in place. And again, like we start off, there's just a lot of good people here. Many of them are still here, including Luke Armstrong, employee number one, who's our chief revenue officer.
Oh, wow.
You know, so we have a lot of great people are here. You know, I've made moves, obviously, but, you know, these people are smart and driven and love the product. And, you know, it's a real testament to the product, meaning the workouts in the studios themselves that survived through, you know, just mismanagement. A lot of ego involved.
What a kind of weird 1-2 punch though, right? You get shut down for, you know, in some places a year, year and a half, and then to come out of that and then have the mismanagement on top of it.
No, the mismanagement was all throughout.
Sure. Yeah. So what were some of the first steps that you did to help turn things around as soon as you came on board as CEO? Like was it when you stepped in, were you like, okay, here's the financial management, we get that in control. But then what did you do then to reverse that and start scaling up so that the franchise site was growing?
So, you know, the SG&A was the first obvious target, you know, so we pulled out a substantial amount of money there and then deployed that capital into things that made sense. In this case, mostly marketing. So, you know, we went after fixing the website, focusing on communication with our amazing membership group through, you know, weekly communication and blogs and SEO, and just focusing
comes back to that communication thing again.
always. But, you know, and then fixing the app and making it easier to use. Everything was very clunky, the website, the app. And, you know, a lot of people in today's world, you know, they want to jump on your app and book classes and everything else. So we started even there, you know, assessing the people. Like I said, we made some changes, but, you know, and then we started communicating like mad to everybody. We started business reviews, which what, believe it or not, nobody did a business review before. So, you know, we went through and started building expectations and go get lists, I call them. And then started utilizing, you know, what an amazing brand we had, like, and how do we maximize that? And then most importantly, I put us in the Pilates business. You know, we have high intensity interval training with F45, which is continues to be on fire. That's a huge market and growing. Still, and then, you know, we have Pilates right there, and we owned two great concepts. We tweaked, you know, tweaked them a bit, and, you know, my marching orders were, listen, go back, make it amazing, and then we'll put our back into it and grow these Pilates concepts. And within a month, we just made the tweaks. We did the customer surveys, you know, we did the member surveys, you know, we pressure tested everything. And then, man, we were in the Pilates business. So now we're crushing it. And we have FS8 and Vora. So FS8 is a toning yoga and Pilates, you know, reformer Pilates business. And Vora is just an athletic, you know, reformer Pilates experience with, you know, lights and mirrors and the music and
Now,
everything else.
are these separate studios from F45, or did you put everything together?
Very separate, but we also have dual concepts that we're pushing towards. We already have, dual concept locations, but, you know, my big push is now, how do we create this, you know, dual concept with retail in the middle? We also have a recovery business with cold plunge and infrared saunas. So we have that, then we have the FS8 or Vora, and then we have F45. So the full Monty for me is FS8 or Vora, retail in the middle, F45 on the left or right, whatever, and then retail and recovery. And
Recovery.
for me,
So
that's
this, I was
the
going
whole.
to say, this is a whole umbrella of the total umbrella of health products.
Well,
So
right, and we're really working towards becoming, you know, a total solution headquarters for everybody in health and wellness. That's where the magic is. You know, we're very big on content. You know, so we're making big partnerships with Samsung TV, for example, with 240 million plus people. You know, we're in the smart app there, so that's helping our brand. You know, we're making big deals. We did a HYROX partnership, Spartan Race. So we're very focused on, you know, bringing our brand outside the four walls of our studios and helping us introduce the amazing products to more people, because the more people we get in front of, the more we win.
Yeah.
So very
So
focused on cross-pollinating.
what was it for you that was so exciting about the Pilates and adding that on to what F45 was already doing?
Well, this is where my training from GNC comes in, because I learned early on, you know, managing brands and then being a CMO, and pretty much every vendor sat in front of me for a very long time, and building brands together was, you know, it's much harder to try and create something rather than just jump on something that's hot. So let the market tell you what's hot, and then execute like crazy. So just execute, execute, execute. So when I came on, even before, you know, I remember saying, why aren't we in the Pilates business? Oh, you know, we have Pilates, but, you know, we're focused on F45. So my first, you know, time I came in, I said, we're going to get into the Pilates business because the trends are incredible. And it's a great complement to F45. It doesn't compete, it actually complements it. So we need to be here. And the fact that we had two concepts made perfect sense, because they're so different. And it's just a perfect complement to everything we do, because we have the infrastructure, we have the expertise, we have the franchising ability. So to plug in the modalities that actually are already proven and growing is a slam dunk.
Dunk.
So the fact
Wow.
I was, you know, I mean, many people told me just focus on F45, don't get distracted, you know, and I was like, nope, I can do it all. Don't worry about it. We're going to execute. Don't worry. That's not one of my weaknesses, is not able to execute things. So we pushed through the wall, and you know, obviously there were some growing pains, and learning a lot of it, this was such a F45 centric company from a thought process to get people to now think Pilates as well as, if not more though, so, because it's a bigger opportunity. Because
Sure.
every big market we have with almost 2,000 studios, you know, we're pretty saturated, but it's all green field for Pilates for us. So these really strong operators now, don't have to worry about cannibalizing their F-45 studios. They can put a Pilates studio right next to them and win both ways, because you cross-pollinate your members. Because a lot of members, we know from every study in the world, that they belong to a multitude of studios sometimes.
Sure. My wife's got like 4 gym memberships.
Right.
So one gym has the red light. One gym's got the sauna.
Right.
One's got the dance classes.
We're doing red light too.
Wow. Yeah. So then what's the next 3 to 5 years look like for not only F-45 and the company of brands, but for you as a leader? Are you grooming your successor so you can go back to just being an investor, or do you like being involved in the day to day?
Yeah, I love being involved in the day to day. And now, it's the all the brain damage, I guess, for the first year fixing up and cleaning up. And listen, I start from an investor standpoint. I mean, every day I operate in my mind as if we're going out of business tomorrow, so that's the way I kind of attack everything. So, the waste and just the mismanagement made me nuts for even up to today almost. excuse me. But now it's getting into more of the fun stuff that I love to do, is grow and support and engage with the franchisees and just be a part of that. So, we'll play it out. I mean, I'm grooming everybody around me every day, because I empower people. excuse me. So I'm always empowering people and trying to make them more successful. And, at the end of the day, the cream always rises to the top, and there's plenty of opportunity here. But, everybody, I operate in the mentality of there's no cheer. Everybody, you just can't be a cheerleader. You have to be on the field. And the more value you add, the more you're going to be rewarded. So everybody's knows the mantra. Everybody's out there fighting like crazy just to do well for us. And at some point when I'm ready to do whatever, I'll have people to choose from.
Great. That's fantastic. So with for performance inspired nutrition, same, like, are you happy with 60 SKUs, or do you want to keep expanding that?
Yeah. Well, again, we'll let the market determine what we should add. Like, we just added gummy, creatine's on fire. So we just added a third SKU in the creatine line. Mm. So we added a gummy. So we had a chew we just launched, like probably maybe 6 months ago. We had a powder, obviously. And then we do that. We have the test booster that's really hot now. We just have this year. So it's a great, top seller as well. So we just let the market dictate like what we add, and we let our retailers tell us. The gummies was, Hy-V supermarkets out of the Midwest was like, you guys need a gummy. And, I'm listening to the customers and the members. Sure, and you almost can't miss it, the creatine. So, wow. So everything we have is making money, quite frankly, and doing well. But I'm not trying to launch anything to create a market. That's a much heavier lift, sure. Financially, and just telling the story. I mean, there's a lot of great supplements that I would like to carry, but the market's just not growth. COQ10 is a good example of a costly supplement that everybody should be taking, especially if you're on a statin. I think the next product we'll probably add is a magnesium. Magnesium is a very important supplement. It's in our zinc formula, which is selling like crazy this time of year. We just got wiped out by the military of it, which is great. But we might just come out with the magnesium.
So let's talk about, because one of the core foundations and philosophies for performance inspired is clean nutrition. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because I've done marketing in the supplement space, and I'm well aware of some of the shenanigans that some people play with it. So knowing that performance inspired puts such a, like, it's all over your branding, a lot of your messaging is all around the clean nutrition. So let's talk a little bit about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. I mean, one thing I didn't want to do is be another Me Too product. And growing up at GNC with young kids, my son was a state champ in Taekwondo, and I spent, from 4 years old to 20, eating dojangs and driving him around until he got his license, and sitting there and going to tournaments, everything else. And, when parents would ask me, GNC, I want my son to take some stuff for daughter, but is that stuff safe? Is there steroids in your protein powders? Just silly question. But, you learn that people actually think these things. They're not educated. Of course, there's sophisticated folks that understand supplements and everything else. But, it's just, I'd be floored at how many people would think there were steroids and stuff. When we were looking at this brand and to start the brand, it was important for me to really just take that off the table. Like, so being all natural is what our brand is all about, and then being efficacious. So we don't just sprinkle ingredients into our products just to get them on the label. Everything is efficacious amounts, and being all natural is critical. To me, taking a supplement with artificial flavors and coloring just defeats the purpose. Like, you're
Right.
trying to be healthy, and these things matter. Now, in the category, which is double digit growth for almost 20 years, the natural clean products are the fastest growing for years.
Sure.
So, it costs more to make. It's 10 times harder to formulate, because to dump in a cap full of artificial flavor, for example, to cover up the active ingredients in like a pre-workout, for example, is easy, right?
Yeah.
To actually put natural flavors in, we have to put real chocolate in, we have to put real vanilla in. So, when vanilla went crazy cost-wise, like, we had to take it on a chin because I couldn't just plug in that to the retail sales.
Yeah.
But if you hold true to it, there are customers that appreciate it, and our customers love our products. But it'd be easy to be, natural and artificially flavored. We just stick with being
It's
clean.
interesting too, though, now seeing, like, especially these last few months, sort of the hyper focus, especially on the artificial colorings. And, even with the FDA finally coming out and banning a couple of them, and people are like, oh wait, these artificial colors aren't good for us, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, what a good position to be in for you guys, because you're already kind of ahead of all of that. And
And people are willfully ignorant sometimes. They just want to ignore things, and they'll go, oh, this is $3 cheaper, $2 cheaper. It's like, yeah, okay, but it's got artificial flavors and colors in it. To me, and by the way, we're right in the range with pricing. So, we're high volume, low margin business. So, we actually are too prideful in our formulas. Like our protein bars, I don't get credit for probably half the ingredients in it, but it's in there because it's like my kind of like go-to. Our pre-workouts are loaded up beyond probably what people even give me credit for there as well. But pre-workouts have to work right, and it can't, it's easy to just jack somebody up and just crash, and we can put 300 milligrams of something caffeine in and crank you up. And but we really focus on giving you a healthy, really good energy level that brings you to a great place and gets you through your workout without the big crash or make you feel sick to your stomach or feel like you're on drugs. And I've had those experiences, like, so, and that's
Yeah.
easy. It's even cheap. Caffeine's cheap, and we're powerful. Again, we have robust, efficacious formulas that really make a difference. So we found a good niche. So it's hard to find new science because, quite frankly, there's really nothing out there driving the
Yeah.
category. So it's, so you got to find a good place and live with the consequences of, paying more for your COGS, your cost of goods. And when you're really struggling to formulate something being natural, you just have to go through, 10 more iterations if that's what it takes to get it right. And that's what it is. When you're artificial, I mean, you could be, dusted and done in two or three takes from a taste test because it's easy to just dump in a little bit more
Yeah.
something. For us, it's a mix of natural ingredients. Like for chocolates and vanillas and stuff, it's easy. And blueberry, we have protein stuff, but when you get to, pre-workouts and everything, it's a different mix of flavoring that you have to find to really.
Sure. Well, when you're mixing HMB and caffeine and beta-alanine together, those are all very bitter.
That's right.
So being able to mask that is,
Caffeine, so
yeah.
it's tough. But listen, we're it's working for us, and it's just a great place to be. It ties in beautifully with everything we're doing with F45. So at some point, we'll have that a big part of our business at F45 as well, because obviously the studio owners want to have a
Sure.
go-to choice of lifestyle products, which is what we are. We're not, what we used to call the meathead products with just stuff that's overdone or underdosed on certain things, to get them on the label. There's a brand that I could think of that's sold to the Chinese group out of Canada that was famous for that, sprinkling in everything so and have 30 call outs on the front label
Yep.
all
Yep.
doing
The
that.
infamous proprietary blend.
Well, sometimes that's, as long as you keep it to two or three mixes in there. But yeah, when people are mixing in the whole formula and just
Yeah, 37 ingredients in their proprietary blend that's 2 grams.
right. You know the game. Yeah, we
Yeah.
don't play anything.
All right. So if I always like to end every conversation with three questions. So we'll wind down here. I'll ask you these questions. If you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be and why?
Probably not be so headstrong and opinionated. In other words, I probably should have kept my mouth shut a little bit when upper management people, which ended up being my strength, but I paid the price. It probably cost me millions of dollars with one ownership group when he was breaking my chops at Oakmont Country Club, and I went back at him, and his whole team was like cracking up, but they're like, "Oh my God, Tom, I can't believe Tom said that." But I'm kind of like, "Hey, listen, I'm just, I could be a bully like anybody, and I grew up in a tough market. So for me to just bite my tongue, I probably should have done it that day, looking back. But listen, we just got done golfing, and we relaxed, and turns out he was pretty insecure about his height. Probably should
Oh
have." And beat him up pretty good with the Frodo ring joke. They kind of floored everybody, and they were just dying, but it cost me literally probably a couple million bucks.
Oh, ouch. All right. Yeah, that's a good one. So what belief or mindset shift have you had over your career that's had the biggest impact on your success and more importantly, your happiness outside of work?
Well, that's interesting. That's a kind of a two-tier question. I guess I'll start with the last part. The happiness outside of work is not be so critical around everything in my personal life that doesn't quite really matter that much. So in business, I believe it's 1,000 little decisions every day that make a difference, and it all adds up. So I'm always attacking and challenging every little thing in my personal life, kind of trying to put that in a different compartment and letting things get by me that normally would make me insane. Sometimes I just kind of get past, fighting with my landscaper or, overlooking something my kids have done or my wife, even or whatever, just kind of going with the flow type of thing. I've gotten better. I'm not perfect, but that's, but I work at it. So that's
Sure.
kind of has made me happier and made certain people around me happier.
Yeah, well, that's a big one. I think it also comes with age, right? So I have an older brother, 2 years, and then my younger brother and sister are much younger than me, 11 and 14 years younger than me. So same parents, just ended up having kind of two families. But I remember when I was in my 30s, I came home and my 15-year-old sister did something that I had done in high school, and I had gotten like back of the hand and got grounded. And so being the mature 30-year-old person that I was, I immediately ran to my dad and was like, "Dad, what the hell? Look at that!" And I'm tattling on my sister. And I remember my dad was reading the paper and like he flips the paper down and sees what my sister does, and then he just looks up at me and he's like, "Yeah, I just don't care anymore." And then he went back to read the
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's funny. I mean, I the problem is with me. I'll probably never. I always say I'm never really happy. Is I don't. I always still care. I just kind of bury it. I just kind of like. It still annoys me, but I just don't bring it up or talk about it. I just.
You realize there's some battles that are they're better left just letting them go.
Yeah.
Final question: what's the best investment you've made in yourself over the years?
Oh, I guess I have a crazy, insatiable, reading and just so curious, so indulging in that from an early age, constantly reading, if I was in my home office, every book in my office has been read, multiple times. I'm always reading, I'm always busy. I'm just never happy at just sitting anywhere and not doing anything. I'll sit on a plane and somebody's sitting next to me just looking out the window for 3 hours. And I've ripped through, half of a book and five magazines and, online. Like I'm just always like reading, and I'm always, and always been very curious. A lot of parents when their kids are young, always so curious. I mean, I lived it and breathed it. Like I was always like digging into things and trying to find out things. So, and that's, it's probably not the most comfortable way to live your life because you're always trying to figure out like. Just weird, like even when somebody dies, like at an earlier age, like I'm dying to know how they died. Like every, it kind of crosses over almost anything, And I, but it also in business, like when somebody's successful, I love to find out how they did it. Fred Smith, I have a picture behind me here. I sat in a Super Bowl box with him, and I was thrilled. So I went with Wahlberg, and we had just great people with us, other celebrities, and I was just. So excited to meet Fred Smith, who started FedEx, if you didn't know.
Yeah, I knew who he was.
For the listeners who didn't know. But, you know, but just so cool for me, like just out of my skin to a point, you know, like it annoyed everybody around me because I was
Geeking out over the business titan.
I mean, what a great story. And to me, that's like, those are my celebrities. Like I, you know, if you get paid to be an actor and you know, read other people's work and listen to what another person tells you to do, like that does, you know, big deal. You know, you can catch a baseball or whatever. Okay, great. You know, but people that do business stuff and create big businesses, you know, I mean, I got to meet Bezos in Boston one day.
Wow.
And just so cool to talk to him for a half hour. I mean, that just, you know, I'm still talking about it. It was probably, you know, 5-6 years ago. But I just love finding out how they did it and learning their battles and, you know, even doing podcasts, sharing, you know, some of my war stories. And, you know, like I tell my team at F45, now you guys, we've built a good war story here for you guys to tell. Like, this is, you know, it, and again, how I mentioned the GNC, every leveraged buyout and foreign ownership was a battle. I mean, you know, they all say, hey, we're buying you, Tom. I remember the speech Apollo made me one day in a room. We're buying you. Remember, you're the guy, you know, you run all stores and operations and everything else and marketing and you know, like, we're buying you. Okay. And then like, you know, within a week, they had like five people in the building trying to eat through me, right? There, you know, with great pedigrees and guys they knew in other worlds and everything else. And then you just have to, you know, barrel through those guys and rip them apart, which, you know, is my specialty. So, you know, nobody's going to outwork me and nobody works harder and has more knowledge about everything I do. So, you know, it's just easy. And I have basic good people IQ and principles and, you know, and just, you know, I never sway from my integrity and principles and just, you know, and I know what to do. Like it's hard to beat that back because, you know, any situation's fixable if you have the tools and, you know, the steps to do.
Yeah. Well, I think what you said is important, right? The relationships are key. When I was in Hollywood, my mentor, I worked in as a screenwriter and he was a producer and his company ended up getting a huge investment. And I remember very clearly the people that were investing because we were at some sort of meeting and somebody made a comment about something and the investor said, hey, I just want to make this very clear. I'm not investing in the company. I'm investing in the guy that's produced 50 movies. That's who we're investing in. Right. And that actually taught me a really big lesson about like, oh, wow, your reputation is and what you do is really important. Because up to that point, it was, you know, when you're Hollywood is some of these huge corporations, people think, oh, you're investing in that. But a lot of times it comes down to that. Who's the guy running it?
Yeah. Listen, people don't realize. I mean, companies are just people and culture is driven by the people. So even most recently, you know, you could change the culture almost overnight if you change, you know, the people's mentality and or change the people if you have to. But, you know, culture is something that you have to, you know, really focus on and make sure that, you know, the culture is about supporting each other, working hard, you know, no bystanders, you know, pushing through people and process if you have something good. You know, you'd be surprised how many great ideas came from people who are well below the pay scale of the people who are supposed to do it. You know, there's great examples of like Post-it pads, for example, by a secretary, one of the Monkees mother, the band The Monkees, his mother, I forget which one I should remember. But there's so many great examples of people that had great ideas who, you know, a lot of arrogant people above them, he or she is just such and such, but I'm all about, listen, everybody is important in this organization because you're all putting in your time. And I quite frankly believe that the younger junior people have more invested in the company because that's who are trying to grow their career and business, you know, their life with you. So you need to give them, you know, as much horsepower and opportunity to grow more so than the people have already kind of gotten there.
People are listening to the episode or reading the chapter in this book and they want to get involved with what you got going on. What's the best way to do it? Performance inspired nutrition, F45, like how do they find those?
Yeah. I mean, you know, now social media, big deal down on Instagram, you know, follow our websites, you know, F45, performance inspired nutrition is PI-nutrition.com. You know, you can find me on LinkedIn. You know, just, you know, I'm out in the universe. I'm very engaged in social media, My dream is one day to walk away from social media, but I'm always pushing and supporting, our brands and
that
things.
That darn marketing side of you is like, all right, I gotta keep going.
Yeah, my life is my phone, my iPad, my TV remote, my lap at all times. TV.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It's been a fantastic conversation.
Thank you, Travis. I enjoyed it. Thank you.